and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And tough week. We have a Soviet-style Justice Department now working for a dictator as the American experiment continues to burn on the ash heap of history. I am not exaggerating.
No, but you might be being a little obscure. We're talking about Trump.
Yes.
Meanwhile, a gay man, you know who, leads in the delegate count among Democratic hopefuls for president, although it's early yet.
Yes. For the first time, a Southern legislature passed an LGBT rights bill.
Which actually should be the top headline, but the other stuff is crowding it out. There are 600 anti-LGBT bills proposed in the states, but South Dakota does block one of them for now.
Happy Valentine's Day. Same-sex marriage got underway in Northern Ireland.
And almost two-thirds of the Swiss people voted to protect LGBT people from discrimination.
In the United Kingdom, every single venue booked for Franklin Graham's Spring Crusade was canceled over his anti-LGBT bigotry.
That's not stopping him. A Moscow jury acquitted a man of murder in the stabbing death of a gay man, and it was caught on camera.
And we'll give you the LGBT angles on the Academy Awards, where LGBT people of color opened the show.
But there wasn't much gay stuff after that. But it was a nice gay opening.
And I do weep for the Republic. I mean, essentially now we are sitting here with no more Justice Department, no more independent judiciary, no fair elections. Americans seem to want a king and a dictator. You know, the founders, I think, would have declared war at this point for all their flaws.
I believe they did declare war on their oppressors.
We're passively watching the end of the American experiment. And don't say you weren't warned. I mean, you hear people talking about this on TV, but what are people doing about it?
And just to emphasize the point, the president has proposed his next budget, and it includes cuts to student loans, affordable housing, food stamps, Medicaid, education, and the Environmental Protection Agency.
And it closes down the Legal Services Corporation so that if you get arrested and you can't afford a lawyer, there's not going to be any money there to defend you.
If you watch Billy Porter's State of the Union address on Logo, you can see the alternate point of view.
Maybe I should put a link to that in our bulletin
sure, why not?
Sign
why
up for
not?
Our bulletin, go to gayusatv.org, and you can get on our email list, and we send you bonuses. There will be others this week. So the Department of Justice is now cooking up a drug deal with Rudy on the Ukraine and installed a flunky in the Washington district.
Rudy's making a movie about it.
They also gave a...
With the Bidens.
This is the Department of Justice. They also gave $1 million to, I'm not making this up, Hookers for Jesus and another useless group to fight, quote-unquote, fight human trafficking, bypassing all the established groups that have been funded to stop this problem. The other groups have been found ineffective, but they're for Jesus.
And the Department of Health and Human Services has told South Carolina that it's just fine for them to keep giving public money to adoption agencies that decide to discriminate against people on the basis of their religion, their non-Christian evangelical religion, or their sexual orientation, i.e., same-sex couples that want to be foster parents. That's okay as far as HHS is concerned. They are happy to keep funneling government money to discriminatory foster care agencies.
And the Department of Education is now going to bar all those in higher education from denying religious student organizations what they call the same rights as non-religious groups. But it lets religious groups discriminate against LGBT members. Schools usually hold membership in a school-funded organization. You know, you've got to let anybody in, and that's their standard. A lot of the religious groups don't want to do that because they don't like gay people. So they say, well, goodbye for you. Now, there were a couple of positive things that happened this week. The Ninth Circuit, Justice Marsha Pechman, P-E-C-H-M-A-N, in the transmilitary case, issued a series of orders seeking internal documents. You know, the Supreme Court stayed her injunction on the transmilitary case, but the DOJ is engaging in delaying tactics, surprise, stretching out discovery to avoid any ruling on the merits before the election.
And they'll probably go to the Supreme Court to get this order overturned.
The judge is having none of it. She said, I want all the documents by Valentine's Day. Because I love trans people. No,
I
shouldn't say that.
I predict the Justice Department will go into court against that order.
And do we think we had a small victory at the Bureau of Labor Statistics? I couldn't believe that they weren't counting same-sex married couples.
Exactly.
I mean, they're married. They've now folded us into married couples. They're not breaking it out, as far as I know.
Yeah, as they issue statistics periodically and apply them to breaking out numbers of married couples, they are now including same-sex married couples. It should have been taking place 5 years ago.
And the census now is going
more.
To include categories of same-sex husband, wife, spouse, and same-sex unmarried partner. Now,
well,
so that is being broken out.
But for 20 years, the census, or 30 years, the census has been listing unmarried partner as a category you can check off as someone in your household. Meaning your unmarried
right.
partner, and they cross-check the genders of those people, and that, no, we've been getting those statistics
okay.
for 30 years in previous censuses. That's how the Williams Institute has done a lot of its work, because that data is available. It does not count all LGBT people. It only counts those who are living together, but that has been invaluable to at first find, for instance, one of their first most important pieces of data was to be able to prove that same-sex couples were living together in 99%
right.
of the counties in the United States of America.
Yeah, where was the
which
one?
They then took to the members of Congress from all those counties and said, you think you don't have any LGBT constituents, but here is the data from the Census Department. So all this does is refine it a little, because people were checking boxes incorrectly. And this makes it a little more explicit. But this is no revolution in data collection.
Okay.
That happened a long time ago.
Okay. Let's talk
so
about politics.
There.
Are we having a revolution in the primaries?
Oh, wait a minute. I got a couple more.
All right. More Trump stuff?
Yes. Congratulations to the gay refugee from El Salvador who is suing the Trump administration because he was rejected by his family in El Salvador. He was threatened by the M13 gangs there. He looked all over El Salvador for another place to live and was threatened everywhere. So he started heading this way. Took him a year to get to the U.S. border, wait for the time when he could apply to gain asylum. Our government did not tell him that he had a legal right to apply for asylum. No, they sent him to Guatemala.
Well, we also read this week several people, I didn't read that they were gay, who were sent back to El Salvador, were killed within the week.
That's what the administration is doing. They are rejecting people at the border, and they've come up with this scheme where they send people to countries like the nearest country they pass through. I don't know why it's not Mexico, but it seems to be the nearest country short of Mexico that they pass through. And yes, they're in terrible danger there. Those are the countries they're leaving to try to come here. And the government is lying to them by not telling them they're eligible to apply for asylum. So this guy from El Salvador is suing, and bravo to him.
And of course, New York is trying to stand up to ICE and all these other horrible things, so we're being penalized. We're not even allowed to apply for global entry on airlines anymore or anything, or transmit automobiles.
And the Trump administration, of course, doesn't care if we complain, because they know that we're all stupid Democrats who are never going to vote for them, so they have nothing to lose by punishing
right.
us all day long.
Right.
Meanwhile, one glimmer of hope trans activists have been complaining for a long time about the notorious detention center in New Mexico, Cibola. Roxana Hernandez had been in there, who later died. They have now finally succeeded in getting ICE to close that detention center and move the trans women still in detention to places in Colorado and Washington State, which we hope are a little more humane, although you never can tell with ICE detention.
Neither ICE nor most of our prisons are humane places in this country.
Especially the ones that are privatized.
Right. All right.
Now politics.
Well, I mean, the headline is that a gay man is leading in the delegate count right now for the Democratic nomination, Pete Buttigieg. I mean, based on his win on the delegate count in Iowa, although who knows what's going to happen with that when they finally go through all the statistics, and second place finish in New Hampshire, which Bernie won. And, of course, Bernie did win the first round of the votes in Iowa as well.
A couple of things about Iowa that we haven't discussed. One reason everything was so screwed up in Iowa was that the Trump bros flooded the phone lines where county leaders were trying to call in vote results. And that's why people were hung up on busy signals or on hold for hours at a time. So
outrageous.
That is, you know, you don't need the Russians when you've got the Trumpistas right here doing that. But we're also a little chagrined about the fact that the Democratic Party in Iowa is run by Troy Price, who a gay man who was the executive director of the gay statewide organization there, won Iowa.
Well, I don't think caucuses or primaries should be run by parties. They should be run by the Elections Commission in the state, and that's the way it's done in most places. But it's a moneymaker for the parties, and that's why we have things like caucuses. Now, Biden's, some people are saying Biden ran an anti-gay ad against Buttigieg.
Well, because he belittled him for being a mayor of a...
I've done manly things, and he's put colored lights on bridges.
Yes.
And this was considered homophobic.
It kind of was.
Whatever it was, it didn't work.
Well, not only are Biden and Warren looking terrible at this point, but, you know, it's only two states and it's not representative states and anything could happen. So don't get ahead of ourselves. But a couple of interesting things. The exit polls in New Hampshire said that 7% of the Democratic electorate were self-identified as LGBT. Now they represent something like 4.3% of the population of the state, so that's a nice little overrepresentation.
And, you know, Morning Consult did a poll around the LGBT vote and found that 34% are supporting Sanders, 19% Warren, Biden 18%.
This will all change.
Bloomberg 7 and Pete 12. And as I said last week, I think a lot of this is people who are out to pollsters around the country tend to be more progressive.
I think that's true, but I think there are some real splits in our communities, vast differences of opinion. I know people who support all different candidates across the board. And I was interested to watch the speeches after the votes came in.
Yes, I watched them as well.
Yeah, I thought Sanders was very good. I thought Klobuchar was very good. I thought they were both very human. And I thought Pete was very sort of, I don't want to say flat, but he didn't.
He wants to be the unexciting candidate to bring back normalcy.
Well, MSNBC.
Imagine that, the gay guy, normalcy.
MSNBC did a panel of their road reporters, like around midnight, and the person leading the roundtable asked each of the reporters, what's your candidate really like in person, you know? And they talked about Klobuchar being funny and Bernie actually being funnier in person than he gets portrayed, and Warren is very warm. And the guy who's covering Buttigieg says, he's just like he speaks. He's very calm. He has no,
interesting,
you know? And I thought, well, what's that all about? Because when I was watching him, I thought, this guy is trying to be a combination of JFK and Obama. And
now,
it's a very particular affect.
Klobuchar did give a good speech, and she mentioned the who you loves, you know, no matter who you love, and she did that. But I have, you know, she has risen on saying to Bernie and to Warren, how are you going to pay for that? right?
And saying I don't want a socialist on the ticket.
Right, but the thing is, I think the moderates, quote unquote moderates, including Buttigieg and Biden and her, they need to be held to account to say, okay, you say you're going to make it better so I can pay the rent and I can live. How much better? Quantify that. How much is my Medicare going to go down? How much is my Social Security going to go up? Or whatever it is, just quantify it. How much is my student loan going to be forgiven if it's not going to be forgiven entirely, et cetera? Just put a number on it.
And the thing that occurred to me last night was, you say you're going to forgive all student loans. Does that include private college loans?
No,
I know you're going to make
don't.
Public colleges free. And then you say you're going to forgive all loans.
I mean, just taking the system away from Betsy DeVos, who is criminal when it comes to handling those programs. Criminal. I mean, literally, judges holding her to account.
I also have to give Pete credit. He has a standard line of thanking the love of his life, Chasten.
Yes.
Which is nice. But he also start in his list of thank yous or acknowledgments last night. We're taping on Wednesday. He said, and I think about the woman in Minnesota who donated in memory of her wife who died of cancer. And I thought, well, that's a very interesting way to start your list of people you're thinking of or remembering or thanking. And he just, you know, glided right through it, and no one had a heart attack.
Well, that's what impressed me about him in 2017, which was the first time I saw him when he ran for chair of the DNC.
Yeah.
It was just this way he integrated his gay stuff without, like, making a big statement about it. Now, then there's Bloomberg, who was rising in the polls.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I should stop interrupting, but I just want to say that, you know, we're kind of used to Pete to a large extent at this point, but truly, his standing right now, let alone what he might go on to, is so astonishing and so... it's just mind-blowing that, as mind-blowing as electing Obama as a black man to the presidency of the United States.
Which actually happened.
I'm told it did. But Buttigieg is equally revolutionary in concept, whether you object to the fact that he has gotten this far because he's a,
cis man.
White cis.
Harvard-educated, blah,
smooth,
blah.
Smooth, veteran, whatever. It's still a married gay man as a prominent and viable presidential candidate.
We would be thrilled if, you know, being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer made no difference to people and we could just, go out of business.
Or be seen as an asset, not make difference, but actually be elected, in spite of, but because of.
Of course, when Pete tried to talk about that, I mean, he got into some trouble, but he was trying to say, this has taught me something, having this minority status.
Mm-hmm.
Although I actually heard him use the word minorities, which we don't use anymore.
Well, too many people do still use it.
He did the other day. Now Bloomberg,
But I've also heard him say people of color.
Yes. Bloomberg is rising in the polls. This week he got into trouble because one of his old tapes where he talked about throwing people of color up against the wall because they're the ones who commit the crimes. And he's having trouble explaining that because that was only a couple of years ago when he was sort of bragging about the way he got guns under control.
5 years ago, I think.
Well, 5 years in his 70-how-many-year life is not that long ago. And, I'm very concerned. I appreciate what he's doing to take down Trump. The idea of Trump calling him a racist is rich. And Trump had to take that tweet down. But because Trump supported stop and frisk. Trump, and he wanted to kill everybody who was of color, who was committing any kind of a crime or suspected in New York. So, I just think we
even after they were exonerated.
I just think we can do better. And what I want to say is this. Yes, he has these literally billions of dollars to spend. He's already spent about $300 million, and he has billions to spend. And a lot of people want to say, well, let him do it. Then I don't have to contribute. Then I don't have to work. No, we all have to work to change this country in every single state, in every single Senate race and House race. And
I don't think it's about exonerating us from donating. I think it's about adding to the resources that are barely there to begin with. The Democratic Party is bankrupt and a mess. So anything he can do to help out is appreciated, but it doesn't exonerate the rest of us.
That quote's going to be in the next Trump tweet, I think. Democratic Party's a mess. He's having a field day.
I'm quoting others.
Yes. No, I know. Well, as
and I appreciate the analysis I've heard from black commentators who, when confronted with the racism of Bloomberg, say, hey, look, black people don't like any white people. We don't trust any of them. So nobody gets a pass on this. Klobuchar has problems as a prosecutor, as did Kamala Harris. Biden and Anita Hill and the crime bill. Buttigieg, you could go on and on. Well, but black voters are pragmatic, and they want to get rid of Trump.
Right.
So that's why they may not hold Bloomberg.
And I rarely have anything good to say about New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, but sometimes when he plays hardball, it can help. He's called a special election to replace Chris Collins. That was the first guy from the House to endorse Trump, who has been convicted and is an upstate congressman. He's holding it on April 28th, the day of the big primary, where mostly Democrats are going to come out. So that's a help.
All right, let's get to the headline we've buried in Virginia.
Yeah, congratulations.
It has been since 1993 since any state has passed comprehensive non-discrimination laws that protect LGBT people in employment, housing, and public accommodations.
Wow.
1993.
Wow.
And no southern state has passed ever these comprehensive laws. Virginia, having switched its legislature to Democratic, has now passed a fully comprehensive non-discrimination law covering employment, housing, and non-discrimination and public accommodations for lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, all queer people.
And in that picture, way over on the left there is Donica Rome, who's the out transgender member of the House of Delegates. In the center is Alfonso David from the Human Rights Campaign. They've got the transgender flag and the rainbow flag there. But there's more about this bill. It allows...
The Values Act.
In addition to adding sexual orientation, it adds the right to take a private right of action when you take legal action on all the categories. That's a very important thing in human rights laws.
Mm-hmm.
It lets the attorney general pursue civil action against anyone engaged in a pattern of discrimination. So they had a bill, they had some kind of a bill protecting race and other categories before, but it wasn't very strong. And it passed 30-9 in the Senate after all these years. So it means, you know, it got three Republican votes, 59-35 in the House. So, you know.
It's amazing. And if you want to know how difficult this is, Florida has been asked to pass a bill like this. And they're not going to do it, in part because the Speaker of the House in Florida, a Republican, says, well, you know, you can't always tell who's gay, and therefore employers might fire someone, and then they'll be charged with firing them because they're gay, but really it was something else, and they just didn't know the employee was gay, and it's going to be too much litigation, and this just isn't a major problem here in Florida.
Well, I want to take you back to the House of Delegates chamber just for a second. Because on Tuesday, after they did this, the week after they did this thing, Delegate Republican Michael Weber invited a pastor, Robert Grant, to give the invocation. He denounced same-sex marriage and abortion, saying God would bring his wrath on anybody who supported it. So the Democrats, they walked out, and they shouted, you want to quote the part about putting gay people to death, too? And he said, If you don't want a pastor, you know, to speak his mind, you shouldn't invite one.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah, great idea.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, the guy in the Senate who was doing
the African-American
prayers.
Guy?
Yes, he was great. He was very subtle.
Him?
He was very subtle against Trump.
Well, I hope it got Romney's vote because he believes in God.
And right. Other good political news in South Dakota.
Yes.
We have been very worried about a bill that was proposed there that was going to outlaw trans youth minors from getting any kind of medical help, puberty blockers, hormones, surgery, anything. taking away all individual choice, individual consultations with doctors. It was just going to bar it all. Well, in South Dakota, they have beaten back that bill.
And, you know, they were very organized with trans people and bringing trans youth there. One of them was 12-year-old Oliver Mickelson. We have a picture there, who traveled from Sioux Falls to Pierre, the capital, to ask that lawmakers not take away his trans-affirming health care. He takes puberty blockers. Now, and then there was another, we have another.
Elliot James. There you see Elliot on the right directly confronting a member of the legislature in South Dakota. People came to the floor of the legislature.
Well, so it was killed in committee, but yep. But reading further, I understand that a third of the Senate can vote to bypass the committee, and there are four other anti-LGBT bills pending there. The Human Rights Campaign is now tracking, we don't have time for all of them, 600 anti-LGBT bills across the country.
It's just a great step that we were afraid was not possible. We will certainly keep you informed about whether we continue this victory in South Dakota. Meanwhile, in Texas, we've told you they're fighting with California because California has outlawed unnecessary state travel to Texas because Texas is anti-LGBT and anti-abortion. So Texas is now suing California for barring the state finance travel. They say it's religious discrimination, violates the Commerce Clause, and hurts Texas businesses.
Well, the Attorney General, a virulent anti-gay guy named Ken Paxton, is directly appealing this to the United States Supreme Court. I have some better news. In Charleston, South Carolina, the police department is the first in the state to launch a safe place program. We've seen these elsewhere around the world for LGBT people due to an uptick in anti-LGBT hate crimes.
Am I the only one who's a little leery of this, given how police departments treat people of color? To have them suddenly putting out a rainbow sticker that says safe place?
Well, this is if you are, you know, running away, essentially, from an attack or a hate crime. There are now 65 businesses that are putting this in the window and saying, come in here, we'll call the police, we'll protect you. They ought to do it for people of color and for women who are being, and et cetera, of course.
Well, they should stop shooting people of color who are running in the opposite direction as a North Charleston police officer did.
Don't expect me to defend that.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
Okay.
Well, as long as we're into shooting. In Detroit, Michigan, let me get to that in a minute. In San Diego, an Uber driver called the police on a couple of gay dads who had a crying baby in the car. And first the Uber driver lectured them about the baby needs its mother. And then after he dropped them off at their hotel, he called the cops and sent the cops over to check on them. The cops, I'm happy to say, were more sympathetic to two dads with a crying baby than the Uber driver
I had a cab driver 25 years ago. He said, well, what have you been in town for? I think it was Atlanta or something. And I said, it was a gay conference on gay health or something like that. He said, and he goes quiet. Well, if it was my kid, I'd have to kill him. That's what he said. Well, we're on the highway on the way to the airport. I don't want to miss the flight. I can't get out on the highway. And then I had to decide whether to give him a tip because, you know, I don't want him to kill the kid.
In Kentucky, at the University of Louisville, they're having a little uproar there because a student walked into a class, a class he was in, and started handing out anti-LGBT pamphlets saying to gay people, there's a train coming down the tracks and you don't know it.
Well, they defended him on the basis of free speech.
That was a little shocking to me.
We are defenders of free speech.
We are.
When does it get to be harassment and intimidation?
Yeah.
Well, that's a question. And there's a different standard around the world. In Las Vegas, a guy named Connor Climo, 24, a white supremacist who was arrested in August for plotting attacks on gay bars and synagogues, shootings and bombings, pleaded guilty to possession of an illegal firearm. If the judge agrees to the plea, he'll get, 10 years in prison and has to seek mental health treatment and be barred from owning weapons. I'm sorry. I think he's going to get 10 years probation. Anyway.
Chicago, Illinois. Here we go again. Jussie Smollett has been indicted by a grand jury and a special prosecutor on charges of lying to the police about being kidnapped and threatened and harassed.
They say he staged the hate crime attack, and they are implicating other people in the prosecutor's office and other things. So this has become a bit of a scandal.
Now, Jussie, when last heard from, was still denying that he had made this up and was continuing to say that this had been a real attack. The thing that concerns me is he's been indicted on six counts of
disorderly conduct.
That's why they're pursuing
this? Well, it's related
to
making false reports to the police.
I understand, but disorderly conduct? He'd already forfeited $10,000 bond in a plea agreement with the district attorney, who had to recuse herself, basically, or not really recuse herself, that's one of the problems, but handed over to another prosecutor. So they had settled this, but then the governor, the mayor, whatever, got upset at the settlement and said, you know, you're letting him off too easily. We're calling in a special prosecutor. The special prosecutor's been working on this for almost a year.
He will appear in court on February 24th.
It's sad.
In Colorado, a 16-year-old student who said he was bullied for being trans and engaged in a school shooting at the STEM school Highland Ranch last May, killing another student and wounding six with
collaborator,
an accomplice.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, the kid who was killed was someone who stepped forward to try to stop the shooting. And he got shot.
So this guy, Alec McKinney, pleaded guilty. He faces 40 years in prison unless accepted into a program for prisoners under 18, where he'd get 20 to 25 years. Sentencing is May 28th. His accomplice is going to be yet to be tried.
One of my favorite activists for many years was a guy named Jeff Montgomery in Detroit, who died of a heart attack a few years ago. At the age of 63, he was involved in the making of a documentary about his life called America, You Kill Me, which is now completed and is going to be shown in April at the film festival run by the Detroit Free Press, the FREEP Film Festival. If you get a chance to catch that, Jeff Montgomery was an amazing guy.
African-American?
No, he was not.
Wasn't he?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of someone
White
else.
White guy. Yes, you must be.
All right. We're all brothers and sisters.
Of course. But he was a terrific guy and who started an anti-violence campaign in Detroit after his lover was killed in an attack outside a gay bar. And one of the great activists I knew. And if you get a chance to see America, You Kill Me, you should.
We loved him, even though he was white.
Exactly.
All right. In Idaho, the Ninth Circuit denied en banc review in the case where a three-judge panel ordered state prisons to provide gender confirmation surgery for Audrey Edmo, a trans inmate. So that's progress.
In Connecticut, two students under the aegis of the Alliance Defending Freedom have filed suit against the Connecticut school system for allowing trans female athletes in the high school sports. These are two girls, cis girls in high school, whose parents and the ADF have put them up doing this suit. The ACLU is entering the case on behalf of the trans athletes.
But again, as we keep pointing out, they're not going to be happy when the trans men, boys, are the ones they have to wrestle with.
Speaking of wrestling, that, in fact, is exactly what happened in Texas.
Right. Yeah. Right. In North Carolina, Kings Mountain High School won't let a trans boy use the boys' bathroom. He's got, he's a senior with stage 4 kidney disease. He began transitioning freshman year. He couldn't use the girls' room comfortably because he'd get picked on. Had to use the faculty restroom, but they gave him hate stares whenever he went in there. So he was avoiding going, and he worsened going to the bathroom, and he worsened his kidney disease. So a judge issued a TRO, a temporary restraining order, allowing the use of the boys' room while they sort this out. And then on the same line, the Catholic bishops, who were so sympathetic to this cause, urged parents to reject their transgender children. God created each person male and female, they wrote this week, ignoring the Bible, which says in Christ, there is neither male nor female.
Wow.
Jew nor Greek.
In San Francisco, California, there is new news on their Pride Parade. We told you that a bunch of members of the Pride Parade committee had urged them to exclude Google and its associates like YouTube and the Alameda County Sheriff's Office from marching in the parade. On the grounds that they were not, that they were allowing anti-gay speech on YouTube and being mean to people and whatever. But the San Francisco Parade Board of Directors will not bar Google, YouTube, and the Sheriff's Office from the parade, saying they were working with these organizations on these issues. And one of the heads of the board is an African-American woman who said, look, I am sick of white male privilege raising these issues. You should not be passing judgment on this. And we are negotiating, and how dare you speak up? And it's turning very ugly. And the problem is there's no real public discussion of this. The board operates behind closed doors, won't be transparent about their discussions, and won't reveal how much Google is paying the parade to be in it. So there are difficulties on all sides, and it's getting very uncomfortable. Meanwhile, in State College, Pennsylvania, home of Penn State University, Penn State has had a pride parade or whatever for years, but the town of State College is now going to have its first pride parade. Now, this is in what is thought of, you know, Pennsylvania is sometimes described as Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Alabama in between. Well, State College is in the Alabama part of the state. So this is a big deal that they're having their first Pride Parade and Festival this June, and we'll bring you more news of that when we have
Alabama it. Has a pro-gay senator, Doug Jones.
Let's keep him.
Yes, we better. And, of course, if they put up Roy Moore against him, he might win again. All right.
One can only hope, but there are about four Republican candidates at this point, and Roy Moore is leading
in the polls.
Is he?
For the Republican nomination, of course.
That would be exciting. Because
he's a true believer.
The
big news from the across the pond is Northern Ireland, the first same-sex couple to legally marry there. We got a picture of them, Robin Peoples and Sharni Edwards of Belfast. This is 6 years after same-sex marriage was legalized in England and Wales, and I forget when it was in Scotland. Was it earlier? Anyway, it was forced on Northern Ireland by the, you know, by Parliament in Westminster in the absence of a Northern Ireland Assembly, which they now have, and they're talking about religious exemptions and things like that. But in the meantime, these people are getting married.
Congratulations.
And the couple was very, you know, gave all praise to the movement that made this happen. They got engaged in 2015 in Paris at an Ariana Grande concert, but they waited to get married until it was legal in Northern Ireland.
Okay. In Croatia, they're still fighting over who can be foster parents. A Zagreb administrative court had mandated allowing same-sex couples to be foster parents, but then that was refused by the government agency that is supposed to carry out those foster parent assignments. So now the Constitutional Court, which is the national judicial body, has mandated that gays can be foster parents. We'll see whether the government pays attention to that ruling.
We used to have a constitutional court here in the United States that was on our side for a while.
Or that existed as an independent body.
Well, it's not a joke.
Yeah.
In
Switzerland, they haven't yet legalized same-sex marriage, although that may come up soon. But the voters, by a vote of 63-37%, have passed a ban on anti-LGBT discrimination and denigration.
And now they say they're going to discuss same-sex marriage. But you have to understand things move very slowly there. They didn't let women vote until 1971. in federal elections.
Also, I have to amend.
And 1991 in some of the local elections.
I have to amend what I just said. They actually took the T out of the anti-discrimination law. They deleted trans people from coverage by the anti-discrimination law.
And they're nervous about
IVF.
Yes, exactly.
So they may pass marriage. They're going to discuss it starting in March. But the thinking is they will wait to allow assisted reproduction for same-sex couples.
In Ireland, we don't know what the final results are because they have to form governments now. But the leading party was Sinn Féin, the Socialist Party, for you faint of heart people in the United States who are so worried about this.
Oh, like we can be compared to Northern Ireland.
I'm talking about the Republic of
Ireland. Either one.
Republic of Ireland, they were the top vote getter. It was a tremendous surge of votes from young people who were sick of housing prices and low salaries and all that kind of stuff. So the out gay Leo Varadkar of the Fine Gael party and the Fianna Fáil party, they're falling behind. And who knows who's going to be able to form a government over there? They say, we won't work with the Socialist Party.
Well, meanwhile, in Northern Ireland, they've arrested four men for the murder of the lesbian journalist Lyra McKee.
Yes.
You remember that from almost a year ago in Derry in the middle of the renewed fighting there. These guys they've arrested are described as terrorist members of the new IRA.
Well, speaking of terrorists, in Chechnya, a civil rights lawyer and a journalist were attacked in Grozny. These were women who were working on the whole exposing of the anti-gay stuff going on over there, the murders. The crime was basically endorsed by the Chechen authorities and tolerated by the Kremlin. These women were thrown to the floor, beaten around the head, punched and kicked, because they're looking into what's going on over there.
Well, in Moscow, meanwhile, a man stabbed a gay couple, killing one of them. The jury has acquitted him of murder, convicted him of battery, which carries a sentence of 2 years. In Venezuela, LGBT activists protested at the Supreme Tribunal of Justice over delayed rulings on marriage, trans rights, and military discrimination.
In Russia and St. Petersburg, the police broke into the location where Pussy Riot was filming a song.
A video.
They were accused of gay propaganda and extremism. There were 150 activists there, mostly female and LGBT.
They detained 13 people and released them eventually. But they were just shooting a video. It had nothing to do with anything else. In the Vatican, Pope Francis has rejected the recommendation to ordain married men in remote areas.
He is a traditionalist. He wants the priesthood to continue to be mostly closeted homosexual men because that's the tradition in the Catholic Church.
But meanwhile, on The New Pope on HBO... John Malkovich has recommended that they ameliorate the pedophilia issue by allowing all priests, straight and gay, to marry.
To marry. Well, I mean, the Pope, the real...
It won't cure the problem, but it will make it less.
The real Pope, who seems to worship a false god. I mean, what do you think this is saying to women? To self-accepting gay people, as I always say.
It's saying what it's always said.
Until a lesbian can have his job, it's a bigoted church.
In Brazil, they have this strange thing where they associate numbers with animals, and the animals have some meaning, and 24 is associated as a deer, which is seen as a symbol of gay and is therefore denigrated. But Kobe Bryant wore the number 24, so the soccer players all want to honor Kobe. So they've now decided to wear number 24, and they are starting a campaign to get rid of homophobia in sports.
Good luck. break a leg.
Well, that's, I thought it was quite fascinating.
In Mexico, Baja California brought in marriage equality statewide through executive order and the civil registry state director based on the ruling from the federal Supreme Court in 2015. So they're down, they have 18 states now where it's done and 13 to go. We get updates by our friend Rex Wagner on this all the time. I don't understand how you have a federal ruling and they don't just say, hey, everybody, do
it. Please, it's the government and it's homophobia. But we got to hustle or we won't get to discuss the Oscars.
Okay. Well,
in France, a 16-year-old lesbian named Mila rejected the offer of a date from a Muslim boy. He called her a racist and a dirty lesbian. She is a lesbian. That's why she rejected the date. She then wrote this blog post saying, I hate religion, especially Islam, and now she's getting death threats.
In South Yorkshire, the fire department there in the United Kingdom, they got some comments when they flew the rainbow flag. So they produced a video, which we will link to in our email, a cheeky video that said, fires don't discriminate, and neither do we. There's one of the guys celebrating gay pride. We'll put that in a web bonus.
I have a fire segue. In France, this crazy soccer star, Israel Folau, who basically thrown out of Australia for being anti-gay, then said he'd calm down now that he's playing for France, a team there, now came out and said that God burned Notre Dame Cathedral because of gay marriage.
So are they firing him? Because they said they would if he started to talk like this again.
I haven't heard. We will check for any updates on that.
Well, back in the United Kingdom, in London, a rainbow crosswalk at the Woodgreen School. They have LGBT history this month when we have Black History Month. Anyway, the head of the school, Jerry Robinson, said they got a lot of abuse, but it only encourages us to further because we don't want our students to go out in the world and face such hate.
And seven cities in the UK have canceled speeches by Franklin Graham, but he says he's just going to find other venues.
All the venues canceled him. In Mauritania, eight men and one woman who were arrested at the birthday party that authorities mislabeled a same-sex wedding were sentenced to prison 2 to 8 years for committing indecent acts.
But in Austria, at the Vienna Opera Ball on February 20th, there will be a queer couple, a woman and a non-binary person, performing the waltz, participating in the Opera Ball. This is unprecedented, and everybody's very excited.
And back in the United Kingdom, the head of the morning show there has come out after 27 years of heterosexual marriage. He's 57 years old. Said he's tired of interviewing brave people and not being brave himself.
Never too late. AIDS news?
Yes.
Gilead Pharmaceutical Company had challenged a couple of claims by the U.S. of patents on Truvada because they had financed the research that got it declared effective as PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis.
Yes.
Gilead's challenges have been rejected by the Patent Trial and Appeals Board, which said the CDC funded the research, not you bozos. But meanwhile, Gilead's still sponsoring all these events in the AIDS and gay communities, and everybody's happily taking their money.
Being bought off.
Think about it. And in San Francisco, city supervisor has proposed a law to update the regulations on sex in bathhouses because in 1984, when the AIDS epidemic was raging and people were panicking, they passed regulations that in bathhouses, all sexual acts must be monitored. You cannot have any private rooms,
right.
No locks on doors. And all the bathhouses closed down. They didn't have to, but they did in the face of these regulations. New York did not close all the bathrooms.
All of them.
So he's proposing now to amend the rules, and the hope is that bathhouses will reopen in San Francisco if this passes, as they should.
All right, entertainment news.
Oscars?
Well, you know, it was Oscars so white and Oscars so straight, but the show was pretty gay and pretty a lot of people of color. They kicked off with Billy Porter in his gown on the red carpet, and then he did a number with Janelle Monáe, who started the opening number there. And
Janelle, who did this fantastic number, and said in the middle of it,
we celebrate the outcast, the misunderstood. Be loud, be heard. I'm so proud to stand here as a Black queer artist telling stories.
It was great.
There were lots of performers of color. Billie Eilish sang The Beatles yesterday, the four-time Grammy winner, and in the In Memoriam section, and she sang Why She Had to Go, not changing the pronouns. It was also nice in the memoriam to see a tribute to lesbian filmmaker Barbara Hammer there.
Yes, that was very nice. It was also nice to see a land acknowledgement in the middle of the ceremony. Usually that's done at the beginning of an event. We do it at Reclaim Pride, but I was surprised and delighted to see that.
Joaquin Phoenix gave a terrific acceptance speech.
Yeah, I like that.
Opposition, we have to use our voice for the voiceless, he said. And he saw the commonality in all our causes, including queer rights and racism and indigenous rights and animal rights. So that was great.
And Elton John and Bernie Taupin won the Oscar for Best Song. They had never won. Elton has won stuff, but the two of them together.
Well, since the Golden Globes, yes. And, Laura Dern as well. I wasn't going to talk about this, but then I subsequently read she won for Best Supporting Actress for Marriage Story, not our favorite movie. But she was essentially, shut out in Hollywood after she did the Ellen Show for a long time.
Well, she was the object of, she's the one that Ellen
the women,
came out.
We're talking about the Ellen TV series where Ellen came out and Laura played a lesbian producer.
When Ellen in the airport says accidentally into a microphone,
right,
I'm gay, it's Laura Dern she's talking to. Oprah was also on that show as Ellen's therapist,
right,
and both Laura Dern and Oprah suffered an enormous backlash for...
Laura got death threats and had to have a security detail. I just was not aware of this.
No, me
and
either.
She said, I would still do it again. I would still do it again this time.
I really liked the Oscars broadcast this year. I thought it was lively. I liked all the musical stuff they interpolated gratuitously.
I liked the Parasite one. I finally saw it after the Oscars.
I have yet to see it. But I liked the Eminem performance that came out of nowhere for no reason. But the rating, I like that song. But... the ratings were down 20%. 20%.
If only they'd known. Well, it's anticlimactic. Although, not everybody expected Parasite to win. It was one of the top two.
Oh, that was a shocker.
Well, not a shocker. It was between Parasite and 1917.
Yeah, well, I also think that the Oscar broadcast does best in years when there is some big popular movie that everyone loves that they want to, Titanic.
They were going to have a category for that, remember?
And yes,
they got rid of it.
Yes, they were going to have two best movie categories, one
for films you like.
And one for arty films that you will never see.
It's a trade show, but it is a breakthrough for a non-English language film to win. It never happened before.
Yes.
I can't believe that
with
all the great foreign films there have been over the years.
And now there are a couple of other Ellen things here. Dwayne Wade showed up on the Ellen Show this week to talk about his trans daughter. It's not the first time we've heard about her, and he and his wife, Gabrielle Union, have been open about this, but it was the first time he's talked at length about it, about her, not it, publicly. And so that was evidently a very
heartwarming interview. They formed a foundation to educate people about this. They're working with GLSEN. They're really out there working on these things. They said, we got educated, and we want to educate everybody else.
Right. So also... Kevin Hart, who, was disinvited as host of the Oscars year before last, I guess, because of his history of homophobic jokes, gave an interview where he said he didn't realize how awful his homophobic remarks were until he heard from his friends Wanda Sykes, Lee Daniels, and Ellen.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, really? It took you that until you could understand that these jokes were offensive?
Can I run this clip?
Sure.
Okay. So I went to the opening of the second season of After Forever, which is an Emmy Award-winning, five Emmy Awards, on Amazon Prime. And it's about a middle-aged gay guy who's partner dies, if they've been together for 15 years, he still is in the picture. It's written by Kevin Spiritus and Michael Slade. They created it, and starring Kevin and Mitchell Anderson as the late partner. And we have the trailer from the new season. It's on Amazon Prime.
Everybody, may I have your attention?
To Brian and David.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers!
Congratulations.
We both are so happy for you.
As are we.
Why didn't you let David spend the night?
It's better this way. Easier on everyone.
It's not that I want him to forget Jason. But did you notice how many times he referenced him tonight?
Jason and I were good together.
You and David could be good together, too. You can't compare what you had after 15 years with what you got after 6 months. You have to get there.
You build walls, Brian.
What's going on?
And the walls keep getting thicker. And that's not what I want for you.
So what is it? Has the sex gotten boring?
I really like it.
But
nothing. Once we're not 20-something, we've all got baggage.
But you know, the person you should be talking to about this is not me. It's David.
Yeah, right.
He is your boyfriend.
God, you know how much I hate that word for people over 20.
When you're in a relationship, when you care about someone, you talk about the important things.
It was always so easy with you.
Was it?
Or is that the mythology you built?
Come here.
Maybe I don't want Brian with a wonderful guy. Someone might make him forget Jason.
He's never going to forget it.
If I want to have a future, I need you gone.
Okay, that's After Forever on Amazon Prime.
All right, you watch that. I am excited about what's coming up on HBO March 16th, the second year of the My Brilliant Friend Neapolitan novels by Elena Ferrante. This one is the story of a new name. I just finished reading, finally, the first book. After having watched the first year of the series, watch it, My Brilliant Friend on HBO. You can see it on demand.
And you know I saw the two-part play on that at the National Theater, which
so
was also brilliant.
Watch the HBO series.
I will.
Okay.
Because I'm intrigued by the story. Broadway Backwards is coming up from Broadway Cares and the Center March 16th, a Monday at 8 p.m., at the New Amsterdam Theater, and they've now lined up Laura Benanti, Norbert Leo Butz, Len Carreyrou, Jenna Colella, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and many others. Go to BroadwayCares.org.
Congratulations to actress Maria Bello and her fiancé, three Michelin star chef Dominique Krenn. They are newly engaged. We've followed Maria for years, and we're happy that they're happy.
And I want to recommend two exhibits if you're in New York at the Morgan Library on the countercultural French writer Alfred Jarry, and another on a French draftsman named Jean-Jacques Lecoq I'd never heard of, but includes some very gender transgressive things.
And I want to recommend a movie called And Then We Danced, playing in New York and opening next week this weekend in L.A. It played at Cannes and was very popular. A Swedish-made film about Georgia in, you know, the former Soviet Republic, about a dancer, a young man who falls for another dancer. I watched the whole thing. It's actually quite interesting and quite moving. And Then We Danced. Now playing in New York and soon opening in L.A.
Happy Valentine's Day. I appreciate all the nice sentiments. Please don't send me any more candy. I'm trying to lose some weight.
Yeah, especially if you're sending it anonymously. Cut that out.
Okay.
But otherwise, we will see you next week.